This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم وبعد.
Respected brothers and sisters and elders, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. As you may be aware, for the past few days I've been talking about I've been talking about the 10 things of fitrah. On Saturday I mentioned some parts of this topic and the importance of purity. And the hadith which I quoted, I'll mention it to you again. A very famous, renowned hadith, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Asharun min al-fitrah," 10 things are from the nature. And I explained the meaning of nature, the sunnah of all the prophets, and it's something which is natural from a human being, and it's out of purity and something which is considered to be out of hygiene. Qasu sharibi, the trimming of the mustache, wa'ifa'u al-lihyati, lengthening of the beard, wa'siwaku, and using of the miswak, wa'istinshaqu al-ma'i, and rinsing of the nose, wa'qasu al-aghfari, and clipping of the nails, وَغَسْلُ الْبَرَاجِمِ, and washing of the joints, وَنَطْفُ الْإِبِطِ, and removing of underarm hair, وَحَلْقُ الْعَانَةِ, and shaving of pubic hair, وَانْتِقَاسُ الْمَاءِ, and performing istinja. And the last one is مَضْمَضَ, which is gargling of the mouth. And another narration, another thing has also been mentioned, which is al-khitan, which is circumcision. So really, if you make it 10, then rinsing of the nose and gargling of the mouth will consider that to be one, and will take khitan, which is circumcision, as the 10th one. So these are 10 things out of fitrah, which are very important. And I talked about the importance of purity, the significance, the relevance of purity, how much Islam emphasizes on tahara, on purity, and to remain clean. I've mentioned that in quite length and detail. I mentioned the various ahadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which shows the importance of remaining clean and pure, and about that the hadith at-tuhur shatr al-iman, that purity is half of iman, part of faith, and so much emphasis has been laid in our deen about remaining clean and pure, both physically as well as spiritually. Physically as well as spiritually, internally as well as externally. We keep our clothes, our body, our houses clean, and try to keep our heart clean as well from the impure ailments and the impure diseases such as jealousy, hatred, pride, anger, and things like that. So externally and internally, outwardly and inwardly, physically and spiritually, we have to remain clean and we have to remain pure. There's a lot of emphasis. So anyway, these things out of fitrah are those which are connected to being pure externally and physically, and it's to do with hygiene. So much emphasis in Islam has laid on purity. And therefore I talked about the first aspect, which was clipping of the mustache, trimming of the mustache, and I mentioned that we have to, especially men, it's that they must trim the mustache, make it really short, as far as completely shaving it off or not. Some ulama said that's better than, you know, just clipping it and trimming it. Others said you shouldn't completely shave it, but nevertheless, the sunnah is achieved by making sure that it's not big. Keeping the mustache big is against the sunnah of our beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's unhygienic. Food and dirt get stuck into the mouth and on top of the lips and into the mustache, and therefore it's unhygienic. So therefore, it's very important. Sometimes we see the opposite in people, that they shave the beards and keep long mustaches. And I told you, I mentioned the incident when two people in the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were non-Muslims, and they were sent by Kisra, the king of that time. And when they came, so this long incident, but I didn't mention this to you. And when they came, they had big mustaches and clean shaven, no beard. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he the hadith says, كَرِهَ النَّظْرَ إِلَيْهِمَا. He did not even want to look at them. He turned their faces away towards the right. And then he turned their faces away. He did not even want to look at them in the faces. And then he said, وَيْلَكُمَا مَنْ أَمَرَكُمَا بِهَذَا. Woe be unto you, who ordered you to do this? They said, our king. They said, Rabbi, Amarana Rabbi, our Lord, which they are referring to their own king, their master. They said that he has ordered us that we should keep big mustaches and trim our and shave our beard. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but my Lord has ordered me, walakin amarani rabbi, my Lord has ordered me that I shave my mustache and lengthen my beard. I trim my mustache. So therefore I did talk about both of these things. Number one, which was the shortening, extreme shortening of the mustache or shaving it and lengthening of the beard. And also about the beard, where I mentioned that there are many, many hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the importance of keeping a beard. And it's very important. أَنْهِكُ الشَّوَارِبْ وَعْفُ الْلِحَى. Lengthen your beard, lengthen your beard, lengthen your beard. So many hadith, and they're all Amr, you know, they are all commands by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is why the majority of the ulama, I mean, they say that, especially in the Hanafi school of thought, it's clear that a man must keep a fist long beard, fistful, a beard to a fistful, unless otherwise he will be considered to be sinful. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to have a long beard as well. And it's very important that when we have love for our beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we follow him in all ways, shapes and forms, both physically as well as لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. For you in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best of examples. So therefore, for a man, he should try to lengthen his beard and shorten his mustache. And I also mentioned this, that when you keep a beard, it does not mean that you keep it untidy and just all over the place. The hadith says, مَنْ كَانَ لَهُ شَعْرٌ فَلْيُكْرِمْهُ. Whoever has hair, then he should look after it, he should honor it, he should take care of it. And therefore a man should look after his hair. If he has hair on his head, then he should look after it, comb it and look after it, clean it. He should not have dandruff all around his hair. And if he can't look after his hair, then he should remove it, shave the hair off. If he can't look after it, because it's not right. So, and similarly, if you have beard, then you look after it. You don't just leave it really, long, extremely, like once I saw somebody had his beard all the way to his belly button, which is wrong. It's against sunnah, that is. And I did mention that according to some ulama, well, many ulama, and this is another opinion in the Hanafi school of thought, that a man must trim his beard after one fist. Otherwise it'll be sinful. We know that he should keep it to one fist, but an opinion of some ulama that he must trim it after one fist. Fistful. After fistful length, he must trim it. So therefore, it's not that if you have beard, it's just all over the place and, it's all the way to the belly button or to the stomach or something, and it's moving everywhere and it's just really... No, you put oil on it, you comb it, you take care of it, you should have a nice... this is a beard. So these are the two things of fitrah so far which I've mentioned. The shortening of the mustache and the lengthening of the beard. Very important. And I went on to talk about the aspect that if women have facial hair growing, normally there's a famous hadith with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He cursed certain women, and even Abdullah ibn Mas'ud cursed them because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لعن الله الواشمات والمستوشمات والنامصات والمتنمصات والمتفلجات للحسن المغيرات خلق الله. Those women who do tattooing. Allah's curses on women who do tattooing done upon them and who tattoo other women's bodies. So tattooing, of course, is completely haram. To have a tattoo on your body, it's completely haram. It's completely haram. It's not permissible in any shape, form. And it's clearly mentioned in this hadith of Bukhari and Muslim and many places. Al-washimat wal-mustawshimat. And then the hadith further on goes to say that Allah's curse is on those women who remove their facial hair. So therefore, like women trying to remove their eyebrows and things like that, there's a long fiqh behind all of this, but I don't want to go into the details, but it's wrong to trim the eyebrows and make it really fine line, which is not permitted. According to all the ulama, it is not ja'iz, it's not permissible, and it's not right. And that's what I mentioned to our sisters, that Islam, okay, encourages adornment, and you should adorn yourself, of course. Remain clean and pure and adorn yourself for your husbands, not for everybody else. Women, you know, they stay filthy all day long, and when they're going out of the houses to a party or some wedding or something, that's when they all get, you know, adorned and dressed up, and they adorn themselves. That's not right. You need to stay clean and pure and adorned in front of your husband at home, and then when you go out, it doesn't matter how you look, because your real first priority is your husband. And even the men should also remain clean and pure in their homes as well. Men sometimes think that only women have the right to adorn themselves. That's not right. I'm not saying men start putting makeup and everything, of course not, but what I'm trying to say is that men should also remain clean and pure. Imam Abu Yusuf radiallahu anhu, the student of Sayyidina Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says, there's a statement, I can't recall the Arabic words, but he says that just as I want my wife to be adorned for me, similarly, my wife would like the same, that I be clean and pure for her. She's also a human being. She's not just going to like to spend her life with some filthy person in the house and who doesn't remain clean. So a man as well, he should remain clean, he should remain hygienic, and he should remove his hair everywhere, you know, and he should stay, smell good, put fragrance on. That's how he should be in the house. Just like he wants his wife to be fresh and clean and adorned, similarly, the wife wants the husband to be adorned and clean as well. So anyway, so this hadith says that a woman should not, remove her facial hair. The one who wants to do that, the one. But all the ulama, like for example, Imam Nawawi states here that إِلَّا إِذَا نَبَتَتْ لِلْمَرْأَةِ لِحْيَةٌ أَوْ شَوَارِبٌ فَلَا تَحْرُمُ إِزَالَتُهَا بَلْ يُسْتَحَبُ. Except that if a woman has hair where the beard grows from a man or the mustache, then that it will not be haram for her to remove, okay? It will not be haram for her to remove. Rather, it is mustahab and recommended that she remove that hair. So if she has hair on her chin or on her sides where beard grows from a man, then that's recommended for a woman to clean and remove and, you know, pluck. Whether it's, you know, plucking or whether it's trimming or removing any way, shape, using creams or anything. You can use anything. You can do permanent hair removal as well of the body. So, and moustache as well, because why? This, you are resembling a man. Sometimes women, you can see that on the chin, they've got so much slack, nearly a beard grown, which is wrong. You should try to remove it, and it's mustahab. It's not absolutely necessary, but it's mustahab, and you'll be rewarded if you do it with the intention of pleasing the husband, because a woman needs to stay a woman, so she should remove this hair. And I did talk about adornment as well, and I said a few other things the other time. So these are the two things about i'fa'ul lihyati, lengthening of the beard, trimming, clipping, and shortening. Let's just translate the first one as shortening of the moustache, and number two is lengthening of the beard. Number three, let me go to the number three now. The third thing of fitrah, which was mentioned, was wasiwaq, using of the siwaq, using of the miswaq. You can say miswak, but the Arabic proper term is say using of the siwak, and that's how it's been mentioned in the hadith, as-siwak, using of the siwak. This is a very important sunnah of our beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Muslim narrates in his book As-Sahih from Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لولا أن أشق على أمتي لأمرتهم بالسواك عند كل صلاة. Had I not thought that it would be a burden and difficult on my ummah, I would have ordered them, I would have commanded them to use the siwak at the time of each prayer, at the time of each salah. And there's also another hadith where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that السِّوَاكُ مُطْهَرَةٌ لِلْفَمِ مَرْضَاتٌ لِلْرَبِّ. that using of the siwak and miswak is a basis of purifying, cleaning your mouth, and also it's a means of gaining the pleasure of Rabb, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's very important. It's a sunnah which a lot of people take lightly. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that if I had not thought it to be difficult upon you, I would have made it necessary. Compulsory, it's wajib. So it's very important siwak, brothers and sisters, for both brothers and sisters. There's a lot of importance given for the sunnah of our beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to, most of the times he used to do miswak and siwak. When he used to wake up in the morning, he used to use the siwak. When he used to wake up in the middle of the night for tahajjud salah, he used to do siwak. In one hadith narrated, إِذَا دَخَلَ بَيْتَهُ يَشُّوْسُ فَاهُ بِالسِّوَاكِ, or when he used to enter the house, he used to do miswak. And he used to not just use it on his teeth, but also on his tongue. It's important that we clean our tongue as well. You know, when we brush our teeth, also the doctors recommend that you should also brush your tongue. I don't know if you know that, but the doctors do recommend. Ask your, you know, doctor or dentist or whatever. Even the teeth we need to brush, and also the tongue, underneath the tongue, the sides and on the tongue, we should brush and use the miswak as well. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha narrates, عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تفضل الصلاة التي يستاك لها على الصلاة التي لا يستاك لها 70 ضعفا. That salah, that prayer for which a person then miswak, the reward for that is 70 times more than that prayer in which before which a man or a woman did not use miswak. Imam al-Bayhaqi narrates this hadith in his book, Al-Shu'ab al-Iman. Shu'ab al-Iman al-Imam al-Bayhaqi. So there's a lot of importance of, you know, using miswak, and really we need to really implement this in our life. And there are so many benefits. I don't want to go into books that have been written on this. There's a whole website dedicated to this miswak. And there are books that have been written. Detail. You can pick up a book on miswak and look how you read it. It's mustahab and it's sunnah and it's mustahab and it's sunnah at all times. Not just the time of wudu and ablution, at all times. But especially in certain times. Like for example, at the time of wudu, there's more importance given. At the time of the recitation of the Quran. Number three, at the time when you wake up in the morning. At the time of waking up from sleep. Number four, after eating and drinking. And number five, at the time of prayer, at the time of salah. So it's sunnah and recommended to use miswak at every time and at all times. But five times, there's more importance, more significance, more relevance. At the time of performing wudu, number two, recitation of the Quran, number three, when waking up, number four, after eating and drinking, and number five, when the time of performing salah. But you should remember that if you think that if you're going to do miswak before performing your salah and prayer, and you think your gums are going to start bleeding, then you should avoid doing it at the time, just before praying your salah. You should just do it at the time of wudu. Why? Because blood, you know, will break your wudu and you'll have to redo your wudu. This is according to the ulama who state that wudu breaks, your ablution breaks by blood coming out. According to Imam Shafi'i, that's not the case, so therefore it's not a problem with them. And also, before going to sleep, and you know, it's very important, and there's so much benefit of this. The spiritual benefits are there, but the ulama have stated that there's physical benefits as well. They say that it strengthens the eyesight, it's a cure for many illnesses, it increases the memory, it strengthens your gums, and you know, different other things have been mentioned. And whilst you're fasting, according to some ulama, they've stated, like Imam Shafi'i, that after zawal, after midday, a person in the state of fasting should not use the miswak. But this is not the case with the Hanafi school of thought, and the many ulama, they state that no, it's okay, it's not a problem. And you know, there's a hadith where لَخَلُوفُ فَنِصَائِمِ أَطْيَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ رِيحِ الْمِسْكَ has been mentioned, which means that, you know, the smell of, when you keep a fast, we have a smell in our mouth. In the hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this smell is more pure and Allah likes it more, and you know, is more pleasing to Allah than even this fragrance of musk, min rish al musk. So Imam Shafi'i says that if you use the miswak or the siwak, then this, you know, khaluf, the word khaluf is that smell. You know, you shouldn't call it the bad odor, but you just say that smell. Allah likes it. So if you do miswak, then what's going to happen? That smell's going to go, well, that smell's going to go away. But the Hanafi school of thought and many other imams, they say that no, even if you use miswak, it doesn't go away and it comes out from the stomach. The miswak and the siwak remove the smell from the mouth. And the khaluf, which has been mentioned in the hadith, is to do with the stomach. So we are not cleaning the stomach with the miswak. So anyway, it's not a problem. Even in the state of fasting, you can do it. And what about, time is coming to an end, inshallah, I've just got 1-2 minutes. And what about using of toothbrush? Does it fulfill the... Okay, miswak, you know the miswak which we need to use, it's from the olive tree, or it's from a tree known as bilu, they say. And all types of twigs are okay. And but what about using the toothbrush and toothpaste? Does the sunnah be fulfilled? Many ulama have discussed it, but a very good understanding given by Musa Taqi Usmani, Sheikh Taqi Usmani, one of my teachers, and it's a very nice understanding. He says that, remember, there are two things here. One is the sunnah of cleaning and purity, purifying, cleansing. Another is the sunnah of using the siwak, the tree, the thing itself, the stick of miswak itself. If somebody uses toothbrush and cleans his mouth, he will gain and achieve one sunnah, which is the sunnah of cleaning your mouth, because that's also an objective. To clean your mouth is also an objective. So that objective, that purpose, aim and goal will be achieved by brushing your teeth with the toothbrush and toothpaste. But the sunnah of using the tree and using the twig of miswak, that will not be gained, because there are special benefits in that twig itself, in that, you know, stick of miswak itself. So therefore, you'll get one sunnah by using toothbrush and toothpaste, but not the other sunnah. You won't get the rewards of two sunnah. And to combine, and this is from me, I don't know, but I say that if you want to get both together, then if you want to use a toothpaste as well, then what you do is you take a miswak and put some toothpaste on the miswak, and that's it. You've shot two birds with one bullet. So you take the miswak, you've got the sunnah of using the miswak and the siwak, and you've put toothpaste on it. So you've also used the toothpaste. So you've done both, and you can do miswak with the toothpaste, no problem, inshallah. So, and there's a special way of holding it as well, the miswak. And there are a lot of benefits mentioned about miswak and using of the miswak, inshallah. But I'm just going to end on this. So we've covered three things from the 10 things of fitrah, where it says that the shortening of the moustache, number two, the lengthening of the beard, and number three, using of the miswak and siwak. So this third one, which I did talk about, using of the miswak and siwak for brothers and sunnah, is very important. Keep it in especially brothers, keep it in the, you know, pocket. Keep it in the pocket, and you know, whenever the time comes, just use it, especially after eating iftar time, like now when you go into the masjid after iftar, eating a few samosas and pastries and you know, a few things you've eaten, and then just quickly miswak, you know, so the mouth becomes fresh, and if there's any small pieces of food there, that gets removed and gargled in the mouth, and inshallah, it's a very important sunnah, and we should really try to implement that in our lives. It's very important, really, and read a whole book, you know, read the book on it, read a book which will encourage you to use, you know, to implement that in your life. So it's a sunnah which is really neglected, so inshallah, that's a very important sunnah, and then we have another few things. We have a few other things here, inshallah. So these are the 10 things of fitrah we have. We have the shortening of the moustache and lengthening of the beard and the miswak. And then what I'm going to talk about tomorrow, inshallah, but we'll talk about khitan, circumcision tomorrow. Very important topic. And I'm going to talk about male circumcision and female circumcision and a few things related to that. And then after that we have gargling of the mouth and rinsing of the nose. That's one in itself. And then cutting of the nails, washing of the joints, removing of underarm hair, removing of pubic hair, which is important, and the last one, which is istinja, cleaning yourself and going to the toilet, that's very important. So these are the certain things, inshallah, I'm gonna discuss and talk about in the remaining few days which we have on Ramadan Special 95.1 FM. Okay, Jazakallah khair for listening. I'm going to end here, inshallah. And remember, being in du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.